Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Let's go! Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's April. It's the 13th of April. It's 2017. It's a Thursday. We've got five early baseball games to talk about here on the morning slate and six games to talk about on the main slate. So a lot of baseball to get through here on the podcast today. Riding solo today, having some computer issues. So was trying to mess around with those all afternoon and you know, I forgot to message somebody to ask them to come on today, so I'm solo and get through this and help everyone out, and hopefully we have a good bounce-back night, you know, with Steven Wright kind of failing me last night, and, you know, even Ivan Nova ended up going there on some teams. It was just not a good pitching night for me, you know, it was a lackey fade night for me, and it just didn't work out, so those nights are going to happen. I'm excited to get back on the grind here on this morning and late slate. I think both these slates are definitely interesting here. So let's get into it. We're going to get started with Minnesota at Detroit. 8.5 total here. Phil Hughes against Jordan Zimmermann. Zimmermann, the favorite here, 140 favorite. Phil Hughes, a guy that for the last few seasons now has had reverse splits, going to face a very right-handed heavy Detroit Tigers team. Hughes, you know, dating back to the start of last season, 39 hard contact rate against righties, only a 13% strikeout rate, massive fly ball rate at 48%. Gave up a lot of home runs in those very few innings, so definitely like the Detroit bats, not going to touch Phil Hughes here. Jordan Zimmermann is a guy that, you know, a couple seasons ago he looked really good. Last year, didn't give up a ton of hard contact. The BABIP was definitely above average, so maybe some regression, but just not a lot of strikeout stuff last season. 15% against lefties, 13.8% against righties. You know, he really didn't have that big, you know, ground ball stuff. You know, when you look at his 2014 numbers where he had a 10% swinging strike rate, 22.8%, you know, strikeout rate, he was still a pretty neutral pitcher. Doesn't give up a lot of home runs, but, you know, you're definitely concerned when you see the number go from 10%, 8% to 7.7%. So the strikeout stuff really has left Jordan Zimmermann. And don't think he has a lot of upside here. Looking at the bats for Minnesota against Zimmermann, you know, up and down this lineup, Dozier, Kepler, Sano, the three guys with ISOs over 200 against right-handed pitching last season. Dozier, the only guy with over a 350 wOBA. Sano, massive hard contact rate at 40%. You know, a guy that tends to hit more fly balls in Sano. So I definitely think he's interesting. If Kepler continues to bat in this two spot, you could look at a mini stack here with the top three options. You know, once you start getting into Joe Mauer and these guys in the bottom, just you lose a lot of the upside. So, you know, as far as the Detroit bats go, you know, Miguel Cabrera is eventually going to break out of this funk, and why not better than a guy like Phil Hughes? Get that ball up in the air with the 41% hard contact rate for Cabrera against righties last season. So I think this is a good spot for Miguel Cabrera. Nick Castellanos is, I think, is one of the better plays on this entire slate. Continues to be overlooked. Guy's mashing the ball. He hit the ball hard last season. 214 ISO against righties last season with a 378 wOBA. So I definitely like those two guys the most. Victor Martinez is always in play on FanDuel. Catcher eligibility. Bats in that four spot realistically is the DH. So you never really have to worry about him leaving the game unless he gets hurt. So I think Victor Martinez in play. Ian Kinsler is in play. Outside of that, really looking at the top maybe five, I guess you could throw Justin Upton in there in tournament consideration. Because, like I said, Phil Hughes definitely does struggle with right-handed bats. And even in a down season last year, Justin Upton still had a 225 ISO against right-handed pitching. So That's where I'm at with those guys. Moving on, we got Pittsburgh, we got Boston. Obviously, we get, you know, a matchup here where I think Chad Kuhl is definitely not in play. Eduardo Rodriguez is interesting to me because the Pirates just have not been able to hit left-handed pitching to start the season. So, you know, we look back at their stats from last season. You know, we're getting to the point where we can almost start looking or adding this season with last season's stats. I'm going to definitely start doing that probably after the weekend, maybe Monday or Tuesday, and, you know, start having that input into my model that way. But, you know, looking at last season's stats against left-handed pitching, Freeze, I've talked about this a couple times now, 407 WOBA, 46% hard contact rate, but a 60% ground ball rate. And Rodriguez, a fly ball pitcher, which is interesting. But, you know, you look up and down, there's just not a lot of power against left-handed pitching here. So, on a slate that is not loaded with pitching in either slate, I guess you can definitely look at Yu Darvish. We'll talk about him. Obviously, default number one pitcher on the slate, you know, this early slate anyway. But, you know, if you're playing on DraftKings, you need two. And, you know, Brett Anderson, we'll talk about him. But Rodriguez is interesting here. He definitely has some strikeout upside. And in this spot, you know, on this slate, I think he's definitely in play. Looking at the Pirates' bats, I'm just getting done telling you guys that they just don't have a lot of upside. And, you know, it's hard to trust these guys in any way for me. You know, the most home runs hit against left-handed pitching by these guys last season was McCutchen and Polanco at 5 each. So, yeah, it's a good ballpark shift for them going from PNC to Boston. But outside of a stack, I can't see myself going here. And really, it would just be a hedge stack because I'm probably going to end up with some Rodriguez here. Looking at the Red Sox against Kuhl. Kuhl guy, didn't get a large sample size last season, but he did allow a 364 WOBA to lefties with a 36% hard contact rate. To righties, he was a little bit better, 302 WOBA, 30% hard contact rate. So we're not really looking at him here. We're definitely looking at Mitch Moreland, who's hot. Andrew Benintendi, who is hot. Mookie's going to break out of this slump eventually. So, you know, I think you can look at the first four or five Red Sox here. This team has a 9.5 total, which has the highest implied total of the early slate. So looking at this game a lot, and Red Sox stack should be pretty popular here. LA Dodgers heading to Chicago, or staying in Chicago for that matter. We got Ryu against Anderson in this game. Ryu, a guy that I'm just not going there. You know, we haven't seen much of him lately. Last year hurt. This year, only one start. I'm not going there. Brett Anderson's a little bit more interesting to me because of how much the Dodgers have struggled against left-handed pitching over the last year or so. So really good team against right-handed pitching, really struggle against left-handed pitching. So Anderson's interesting just because, you know, like on FanDuel, you're playing Darvish. On DraftKings, you got to pick that second pitcher, and it's really going to come down to Anderson and Darvish and I guess Eduardo Rodriguez. But nothing sexy about that kind of stuff there. So I think Anderson's interesting. He's a massive ground ball pitcher. Throughout his career, he's been in, you know, elite ground ball rates. You know, the last time we saw him healthy was 2015. He pitched 180 innings. He had 66% ground ball rate. Had a larger soft contact rate than hard contact rate. Didn't give up a bunch of home runs. So doesn't have a big strikeout upside, but definitely a guy that can limit the damage. So that's why you're looking at Anderson here. As far as the Dodgers' bats go, I think Forsythe's the only guy I'm looking at here. Gutierrez will probably bat in the 4 spot. Puig in the 5 spot. they're likely going to be a little popular. Gutierrez has been popular every time the Dodgers have faced a lefty this season so far. So really it's Forsythe for me. If you want to get cute and do a little three-man stack, four-man stack, you can do that. But Anderson just doesn't get beat up that much. He really limits the damage. So he's really not a guy that I'm going to end up stacking here. If I'm going to stack anybody, it's going to be against Ryu. And really don't love any of the Cubs' bats against left-handed pitching. Chris Bryant mashed lefties last season, 327 ISO, 438 WOBA, 40% hard contact rate. Definitely firmly in play. Zobrist hits left-handed pitching well, is also 367 WOBA. Contreras, 365 WOBA. Javier Baez, 359 WOBA. So there's definitely some upside here. They don't strike out as much against left-handed pitching. So I think you're looking at Bryant, Zobrist, Contreras, you know, Russell. And, you know, I hardly ever leave Anthony Rizzo out of the stack when I'm stacking the Cubs. He's a guy that can hit left-handed or right-handed pitching. Like last season, 362 WOBA against lefties. Only a 25% hard contact rate, which is not good. So if I'm stacking him up, I'm stacking him up, though. And I'm definitely not leaving Rizzo off my stack. Moving on, we have Texas at LA taking on the Angels. We've got an Angels team that does not strike out that much. You know, Mike Trout against right-handed pitching last season, 21%. Espinoza, who doesn't start every day, 28%. Everybody else under a 20% strikeout rate here. The thing is, Darvish is, you know, just the default number one on the slate because we don't have a bunch of good pitchers here. So while he doesn't have the strikeout upside that he usually does, he's still the best pitcher on the slate in a very friendly, you know, pitcher's ballpark. So Darvish, definitely the guy you're looking at here on the morning slate as your ace. Ricky Nolasco on the other side of this game. I'll have me zero of that. 34% hard contact rate against righties. 34% hard contact rate against lefties. Doesn't give up a bunch of home runs. Nolasco, a guy that is a fly ball pitcher. Pitching in this bigger ballpark definitely helps him. But I definitely like the Rangers' bats in this matchup. Looking at Gomez, Chu, Mazzara, Napoli, Odor, Gallo is such a boomer bust tournament play every slate. He's a guy that's either going to hit a home run or strike out three times trying to hit a home run. So Joey Gallo, always a guy that you want to consider for tournaments just because his big power upside. As far as the Angels go, Mike Trout's Mike Trout. I don't love this matchup here for him against Darvish. Like I mentioned, he had a 21% strikeout rate against righties last season. He did bat 312 with a 419 WOBA. Like, I'm not saying don't play Mike Trout, but this is definitely not the best matchup in the world for him. So not a guy that I'm going to pay this massive price tag for. Let's look at the last game on this early slate. Chicago White Sox, Cleveland Indians, Miguel Gonzalez against Josh Tomlin. Miguel Gonzalez, a guy that kind of bounced back last season, definitely shocked a lot of people, including myself. You know, you look at this guy's numbers throughout his career, you know, was a guy that just gave up a bunch of home runs in 2014 and 2015. With Baltimore, even if you look back to 2013, he gave up a bunch of home runs. And the numbers last season, 373 ERA, you know, his Sierra was 461. So you kind of, you know, the numbers are suggesting regression. You know, he doesn't have a big strikeout upside. It was only 17%, 83.3% contact rate. Like, they were putting the ball in play against him. He's a neutral, you know, ground ball, fly ball guy. So, you know, regression's coming. I have no issues with rolling out a Cleveland stack in this spot. If you think that, you know, the regression's going to hit him here. And, you know, the White Sox have just not been good to start the season. I'm not a Josh Tomlin fan. But if they end up going right-handed heavy here, I guess Tomlin's a little interesting. He gives up a bunch of home runs to righties. Fly ball, neutral guy, 42% ground ball, 35% fly ball, 32% hard contact rate. not a lot of strikeouts, but Josh Tomlin doesn't usually walk people either, which definitely helps when you're, you know, trying to pitch deeper into ball games. He's a 184 favorite on this early slate, which is definitely the highest. We don't have a line in the Chicago game, obviously, the night before. Never have a line in the games in Chicago because of the wind. Tomlin's interesting for tournaments. He's risky. Not a cash game play by any means. You know, if you end up rolling some teams with Tomlin, I would definitely consider a Chicago White Sox stack, even though they've been terrible. Tomlin, a guy that can give up a bunch of home runs. And like I said, I don't mind an Indian stack here. I'm definitely not pitching Miguel Gonzalez in this spot. The Indians have almost an implied team total of 5, which is second behind Boston on this slate. So if you want to pivot off of the Red Sox in a very popular spot, maybe the Indians are the best case scenario here, which is Vegas is definitely thinking so. All right, let's get into the late slate here. All right, first up, we got Tampa at New York, 8.5 total in this game. Matt Andreese against Luis Severino. So on this late slate, you really have Bumgarner in the late game, and even John Gray in the late game. I think those guys are both options against each other there. I think they're both definitely in play. But outside of that, you know, you're going to want to mix it up a little bit. So a guy like Severino, who, you know, when you look at the Rays lineup, has a ton of strikeouts against right-handed pitching. Outside of Kiermaier, we saw this team strike out a bunch in 2016. And Severino, a guy that definitely expects some positive regression for him this season against right-handed bats. He gave up a bunch of home runs to righties last season, even with a higher ground ball rate. 22% strikeout rate, which is always very encouraging. 9.2 swinging strike rate, under an 80% contact rate. You know, the hard contact rate was under 30% last season. Like I mentioned, 45% ground ball rate, 31% fly ball rate. So more of a ground ball guy. The Sierra was, you know, almost 2 whole points under the ERA. So expecting some positive regression for Severino here. He's a guy that I like a lot in the spot. I think he has a lot of strikeout upside here. And when you look at the slate outside of those guys in those late games, you're going to be taking risks just about everywhere. So I think Servino's a guy that I'm going to take some risk with. With that being said, I think you can look at maybe Evan Longoria here, Steven Souza, the righties. Where Servino struggled last season was the righties. He allowed 8 home runs in 38 innings last season against right-handed bats. 32% hard contact rate there. So really it's Longoria, Souza, one-off tournament plays, just hoping for that Yankee Stadium home run there. As far as the Yankees go, I love this stack, a stack that I'm definitely looking at here. It's going to happen eventually. Aaron Judge is going to bat in the 5 spot. The guy just continues to hit home runs. I got him at like 4% ownership last night. So it's going to eventually happen. Until it happens, you know, you still limit your tournament exposure to him. The guy's just mashing the baseball right now. Would really love to see Gregory Bird come back. I don't know if they actually put him on DL now. I got to look. I forgot to look that up before I got started here. I don't know if they actually put him on the DL. So he was available off the bench on Wednesday. So I think that Gregory Bird's interesting here if he gets the start. We've been waiting for him in Yankee Stadium now ever since the season started. He's off to a really cold start. Only 1 hit in, you know, 16 at-bats. And I think he's a guy that I'm definitely have some interest here in this slate. Ellsbury, Gardner, Holiday, all these guys perfectly in play for me. Like I said, I definitely like the Yankees stack here at Yankee Stadium, especially these lefties. Baltimore at Toronto, Kevin Gausman against Francisco Laureano, our favorite pitcher in baseball. Just kidding. So, yeah, everybody loves Francisco Laureano, right? Yeah? No? All right. Yeah, I understand. So Blue Jays disappointed big time yesterday. You know, they had a great matchup against Chase Anderson and just couldn't get anything going there. Kevin Gausman, a guy, you know, when you're looking at his numbers, pretty decent against lefties, 288 wOBA, which is really solid, 23% strikeout rate. When you look at his numbers against righties, that's where you start getting worried a little bit, 346 wOBA. Still didn't give up a lot of hard contact, only 28%. The BABIP was 340, which just means he was getting unlucky, 22% strikeout rate. So he has the strikeout upside. He tends to give up home runs to righties, so I think Gossman's an interesting tournament play here for strikeouts if this this Toronto team just stays cold. Francisco Laureano, there's no chance that I'm going back to the well here. It looked awful. He looked awful in that first start. I just can't imagine myself playing Laureano over Gray, over Gossman, over Bumgarner, obviously, but like, I just can't imagine it. You know, his first start went a third of an inning. He had three hits against, four walks, five earned runs. Tampa mashed him. Not a guy that I'm looking at here on this slate. I think the Baltimore stack is definitely in play here, coming off a really big day against Steven Wright and my bankroll. The beef, I like the Wellington Castillo a lot here. He's been batting in that sixth spot. They're on the road. This is a great ballpark for hitters. He had a 243 ISO last season with a 53% hard contact rate against lefties. So he hits lefties really hard. I like Castillo a lot. Trumbo, Machado, Jones, Gentry, Manicotti. I think all these guys are in play for Baltimore in this spot. For the Blue Jays, it's really stack or nothing. I've been playing Morales all season, so this is probably the spot that I don't play him and he hits a home run. But I definitely think the Blue Jays stack is well in play. Great ballpark. Like I said, Gossman did have a home run problem with right-handed bats last season. So if he continues, there's a lot of righties here, and they burned everybody. So if you're running out multiple lineups, I think you definitely want to look at a Blue Jays stack here. Milwaukee at Cincinnati, we got Jimmy Nelson and Brunson Arroyo. You want to talk about a game you can just stack any possible way, you know, that you can think of. This is the type of game that you're looking at it. Like Jimmy Nelson, a guy that, you know, struggles against righties. Numbers weren't great against lefties last season. Like, gives up a ton of hard contact to lefties. So, like, this might be the spot that you look at Joey Votto. Let's talk Brewers first here. Brunson Arroyo is, I don't know how this guy got a gig again, but you're definitely stacking the Brewers in this spot. Just a phenomenal ballpark. Brunson Arroyo stinks. I don't understand how this guy's in the bigs. You know, he gave up six earned runs and two home runs to righties in that first start. Like, just load up. All these guys firmly in play for me. Looking at the Reds, Joey Votto, Adam Duvall, Suarez, Billy Hamilton, Scott Schebler. If Scooter gets the start, Scooter against his former team. You know, this is just a spot. You're just stacking this game up. This is the best game for offense on this slate. So, you know, love this game. You know, target this game. I don't know how many other ways to say it, but target this game as much as you possibly can. New York Mets, Miami Marlins, Robert Selman against Wei-Yun Chen. Eight total in this game. Chen a little bit of a favorite here. This is a tough game. You know, you look at it and you don't really like either one of these pitchers. Selman, a guy that was, you know, definitely serviceable last season against the Marlins team that, you know, Stanton coming off a two home run day. The Mets, you know, you look at their stats up and down. They don't strike out a lot against lefties, except for the lefties, Bruce, Granderson, Duda, Conforto, like, but Reyes, Flores, Cespedes, Walker, Astrubo Cabrera, all these guys, you know, hit left-handed pitching really well. Flores, definitely one of my favorite plays on the slate. When we look at Chen, 333 wOBA against righties last season, 35% hard contact rate, neutral fly ball, ground ball guy. you look at Flores, 455 WOBA last season against lefties, 370 ISO, just everything I'm going to say about Flores makes him in play. Cespedes, he mashes lefties, 441 weighted on base, 47.8% hard contact rate against lefties last season for Cespedes. The home runs didn't happen a lot for him last year, but definitely a guy that I like in this spot. And I think you could look at Neil Walker. He's going to be a guy that's going to put the ball in play, under a 15% strikeout rate against lefties last season. I like this little like 2-5 stack here: Cabrera, Cespedes, Flores, Walker. I don't know if Travis d'Arnaud gets to start at catcher. He was hurt a lot last season, so can't really go off of his season numbers last year. But the year before that, if I remember correctly, he hit left-handed pitching well. Outside of for the Marlins, you know, you're looking at D. Gordon, Stanton, Yelich, Ozuna. But you're not really going heavy with the Marlins here. I know they're favored in this game. I have a little bit more interest in the Mets. And I guess I believe in Selman a little bit more than Vegas does, where he struggles against lefties. He gives up a lot of hard contact to lefties. And just, you know, Boer, Yelich, guess the guys at the bottom. Like, I think this is actually a decent spot for Selman. Huge ballpark here. Could be pitching with a lead if these lefty mashers do what they're supposed to on his team. So, little interesting. Let's see. Moving on, Oakland at Kansas City. Jesse Hahn, Jason Vargas. So Vargas pitched really well in his first game of the season against Houston. Yeah, it's going to be Houston in a nutshell this season. They're going to be so boom or bust. I'm not going there in the spot. You know, we're going to see a lot of right-handed bats in this lineup for Oakland. They're a very platoon-heavy team. You know, Semien, Davis, Healy, Davis, Lowry, Plouffe, Fegley. Like, they have guys that hit left-handed pitching. So, I think it's a spot you stay away from Jason Vargas. It's really odd that you get a game with an 8.5 total in Kaufman. So, I'm definitely staying away. I'm not playing Jesse Hahn either. I know the Royals' offense has been struggling, but I don't think this is the spot you necessarily want to attack them. Hahn, not a guy that's going to overpower anybody. Really struggled last season with lefties. 428 WOBA, 38% hard contact, only a 12% strikeout rate against lefties last season. You look at the numbers against righties. Jesse Hahn against righties last season, 306 WOBA. A little bit better against righties. Still not a massive strikeout rate at only 11.3%. So, unfortunately for him, you know, he's going to see a bunch of lefties here. Looking at the Oakland bats, I like Healy. I like Davis. Semien, Plouffe, Fegley. I like all these guys. I think they're firmly in play. Plouffe, Semien, Davis and Healy all over a 230 ISO against left-handed pitching last season. So there's some power upside in this lineup against lefties. Not the greatest ballpark in the world for the power, but a couple gappers and you're on your way. Very, very sneaky under the radar type stack here for the Oakland. As far as the Royals go, like I was saying, they're struggling this season. Moustakas is probably the only guy I'm going to be looking at here. He's the one, the guy that continues to hit the ball well. And that's kind of it for me. Moving on to this late game, the last game on the night, the only late game on the slate, and it is juicy for pitching. You know, we got John Gray against Madison Bumgarner, 6.5 total in this game. Vegas expecting the lowest scoring game here on this slate by a full two runs, so, or run and a half. I guess that Mets-Marlins game's 8. So, full run and a half here, lower than any other game on the slate. Madison Bumgarner, top option on the slate. Gets a Rockies team outside of Coors. And just a team that has been really cold to start the season. You know, you look at their numbers against lefties last season. Trevor Story mashed lefties. Arenado hit lefties really well. But outside of that, you know, Blackman kind of hits lefties good. He doesn't hit them for power. He just kind of beats the ball around the field. And DJ LeMahieu, the same thing. So the top of that order is tough. But then you got a guy like Madison Bumgarner, obviously one of the best pitchers in baseball. You look at his numbers last season, just phenomenal again. 2016 season was good for him. 11.5% swinging strike rate, only a 75.8% contact rate. You look at it, the WHIP 1.02, the Sierra 3.36. Just a guy that you always look at when he's at home, AT&T, very, very friendly pitcher's ballpark. So like Bumgarner as my top option. But I have John Gray as my second favorite option. I think the pitchers on this, both of these teams, let's just say I'm not playing any bats from this game. I don't even think I'm going to roll out like a hedge stack. I'm going to load up on the pitchers in this game. You know, looking at the Giants, they don't have Posey in there. He's on that 7-day concussion DL thing, so he won't be back. I think for like three more days. So, you know, looking at it, you're going to see probably Crawford in the four spots. You're going to see Nunez up there. So none of these guys outside of Hernandez, who only did it in 21 plate appearances last year, had an ISO over 200 against right-handed pitching last season. So there's just not a lot of power in this lineup. Obviously, they don't strike out a lot, so that kind of plays in the factor. But you look at John Gray, and one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball last season, people started to come around at the end, but 26% strikeout rate with a 12.1% swinging strike rate and a 75.1% contact rate, which is lower than Justin Verlander's, or not Justin Verlander, well, lower than Verlander's, but lower than Bumgarner's as well. So I'm looking at John Gray here. If everybody's going to play Bumgarner, then, you know, I'm going to play the dog, the 152 dog here. And I think John Gray could have a really good start in this spot. Obviously, I'm definitely a guy that likes John Gray. But if you're looking on FanDuel, like, if you want some of these bats, Bumgarner's 11-3, John Gray's 7-8. I know his first start or first two starts have been shaky at Milwaukee, at Coors against, you know, the Dodgers. So two tougher matchups, two tougher ballparks. He goes into an AT&T ballpark that is very, very, very friendly for hitters, or pitchers, not hitters. So I think John Gray definitely in play here. That's going to do it. I'm not taking any bats from this game. You know, towards the end of basketball season, I got asked when I do solo podcasts to still give out my home run calls. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Travis Shaw from Milwaukee. I'm going to say Joey Votto in the same game. I expect that game to be high scoring. And then I'm going to say for the last one, I'm going to go the beef. Wellington Castillo, the catcher from Baltimore. I like him a lot in this spot. I think that if Laureano throws him strikes, he'll be a guy that mashes the baseball here. Under 9K quality start would be John Gray for me. I love him here on the slate. Going to be a guy I use over on FanDuel a lot at this price tag. I think the price is too cheap. And I hope people stay away after seeing the first couple starts this season. But I'm not going to be one of those people. We'll be back tomorrow with the Friday edition of the Morning Grind podcast. The Siege will be joining me then. So if you have any questions, let us know. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Whether you're entering one or 100 lineups into a contest, you need to be using our RotoGrinders Lineup Builder and Optimizer. The Optimize setting creates the best possible lineup given your projections and player pool, both of which are customizable. The Build setting is intended for tournament players and will create up to 150 lineups in seconds, all based on your filters and exposure settings, and then export them for use on FanDuel or DraftKings. Spend less time building lineups and more time enjoying the game. Use Lineup Builder today.